RB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed, ahoy, hoy, and welcome. It's episode 405 time of BRB UK time, and I'm Dan Time. Yes, it's all time for some Dan Time.
Dan
but you know
Time?
What it's also time for when it's Dan Time? Coleman Time is what it's time for.
That's what we used to call downtime in IT. Coleman
yes.
Time. It means I've touched something I shouldn't have.
Yes, and talking of doing things you shouldn't have, Tim, hi.
Hi.
You're right.
Hi.
What have you done this week that you shouldn't have done?
I can confirm I haven't been out in the streets of East Finchley crime fighting under any pseudonyms.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's just hitting people and yelling at them, I'm Tim Hibbs.
Well, no, you alluded to me. Yeah, getting F-bang their last name.
Can I just say, Coleman, props to you for making that the episode title.
Had to be done. Had to be done.
I saw the episode title, I was like, what? And I was like, oh yeah, Fandome. Okay, yeah, I see that. How that probably diluted into Dickwing just with, yeah.
I assumed you would have seen the title and gone, God damn it, I leave these two alone for one episode.
Yeah, exactly, and look what happens.
And then I get another
filthy name. Well, it's better than the alternative, which was Flange Girl.
But I can't believe not only did I miss 404, in which I knew Dan couldn't pass by without making a reference, but I also missed chatting about DC Fandome last week with Coleman and how much I like that. And I'd done my homework and I'd watched it and seen
everything. Then didn't show up for the show.
Had opinions.
Had opinions. Wow, that's very unlike you, Tim.
More than one.
Are they your usual well-thought-out opinions or the more classic Tim utter drivel with a little nugget of insight buried somewhere?
Varying between the two in a wild and unpredictable fashion.
Okay, well, that's a cool story, Tim. Thank you.
I think, because originally DC Fandome wasn't the way we got it, which was like 12 hours of videos and interviews and what have you. They were meant to do 24 hours and overlap everything. And now they've broken it down into two different shows. But the idea was to overlap it like it would have been its own separate con and online. And you would have to go between different stages and stuff to see the right things you want. And I reckon Tim's the only person in the world that wanted that. Because think of the menus. Think of the menus you didn't get.
God.
Yeah. Pretty good, though.
Well, hey. Yeah, had some good stuff.
Yeah.
So did you? Pretty stoned. So,
nice.
Yeah,
good. Happy.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Now we can move on.
Brilliant. Yeah. So, chaps, when are we buying Rocksteady?
We're not.
What?
Yeah.
What?
They've been deemed too valuable thanks to the DC Fandome, I think.
We should have kept our trap shut. We've been outbid again.
I think we made a fair offer.
From Bargain Hunt.
I can't remember what our offer was, but I believe it was fair.
I believe it's 50p and a Twix.
Podcast editing services, a free prostate check, and whatever Tim brings to the table.
Could design you a leaflet.
There you go.
To read while you're having your prostate check.
Exactly. Yeah, so
much?
This goes on the back. We've spoken about this in the past. AT&T, it was reported that they were looking to offload some of their properties so they could recoup some money because they appear to be in debt. That's a very similar amount that they spent on Warner Brothers, it looks like. And it was rumored that Warner Brothers Interactive was the section that was going to be on the chopping block. So that includes studios like Rocksteady, Monolith, NetherRealm, to name a few. And there's a report from Bloomberg this week that says that AT&T has deemed that it is too valuable to unload during its efforts to pay down debt and streamline, according to people familiar with the situation. So I think DC Fandome may have saved DC and Warner Brothers by proxy.
Excellent.
Well, save them from being sold.
Mm.
Well, yeah, and DC's its own kind of kettle of fish at the moment because there's
indeed
like people behind the scenes getting axed left and right, and people in front of the scenes getting axed left and right. And people theorizing that we could be seeing the end of DC Comics and DC Comics sort of living on in name only in film and television and animated series and stuff. I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, there's been all kinds of weird shenanigans going on behind the scenes at DC for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
I just think it's now just a bit more in the public domain, and I think COVID has crystallized certainly these certainly with DC, which is all owned by a much larger company, and it's looking at ways to kind of keep the books afloat by looking at all of its business areas. That's why I think in this particular instance, DC's come into focus when it perhaps necessarily shouldn't have needed to be. A bit like the way Microsoft was considering torching the Xbox division a couple of years back.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think they've seen the value of it now, I'm guessing.
But it looks like we're safe with the next Injustice, I assume, with the next Harry Potter game, with all the DC properties we got to see. Happy days.
Happy days.
Now, if some of those studios could just, improve things behind the scenes, that'd be great.
Yes, please do. Don't be a dick.
Talking about another studio that needs to sort things out behind the scenes.
Hey!
Our old friend Ubisoft.
Yeah, Tim, can you sing me a song?
No.
Please sing me a little song. It'll help with the segue.
I'm not your performing monkey. He already segued for you perfectly.
Talking of tone deaf is what I was hoping to go for. And also it would have amused me just to make you sing like my performing monkey that you are.
Exactly. Sing, Tim. So sing for yourself next time.
Well, all right. Okay, fine. Well, anyway, Ubisoft. You go for it, Coleman, because there's a lot to go through here.
Do you remember we watched that Ubisoft... I can't even remember what they've started calling their streams. Let's call it Ubisoft Nintendo Direct. A while ago, and oh, good, look, Sam Fisher is back in a mobile game, and it looked very underwhelming. Well, that game called Tom Clancy's Elite Squad, which is kind of a mishmash of different characters from the Tom Clancy very series over the years, put them together into this weird kind of mobile concoction. That's finally out, and a lot of people aren't happy because when you boot up the game, it introduces you with a cinematic to a fictional terrorist group that you're fighting against called Umbra. And their kind of symbol that represents the group is a Black Lives Matter movement fist.
Which,
intentional, probably not. But what it looks like, and there was...
Although, coincidentally, Donald Trump did just buy $50 million of Ubisoft stock. Allegedly.
Anyway, I don't want to go into the jokes.
Yeah.
There was some outrage by people that worked on the characters and saw this, the raised fist, and went, hold on, that is not what I created these characters, this group, this storyline for. Obviously people, it caused a hell of a lot of noise online. So Ubisoft are now going to be patching out the scene and replacing that, altering it, taking out the fist and making it to a much more tasteful looking video. But this is going to be referred to a lot in the sure to be more Ubisoft stories going forward, I assume.
I mean, come on. How did that even... Just anyone with half a brain cell must have gone, hang on, this might be a really bad idea to use for a logo, chaps. Not only is this completely insensitive and, playing into the hands of, frankly, idiots out there who have got slightly odd views about what the Black Lives Matter movement is actually about and are confusing it with all kinds of terrorist organisations. We're completely in the wrong. Just letting stuff like this out the door. How is this helping anything? And what the hell were you thinking? I mean, sorry, come on.
But it's also going to now piss off the idiots you were just referring to because it's been pulled and they're going to be seen to brand it. I'm not saying they shouldn't take it out. Like, I think it was tone deaf to put it in the first place.
But it's going to be, oh my God, they've done some censorship on my mobile game that I'll play while I'm taking a poo-poo on the TNK. And
so, yeah.
That's a flawless French impression, Dan.
Thank you.
That's great.
I was actually going more for a trumper, but there we go.
Okay, good.
Well, my name is Jade.
More for a trumper. This should have been taken out by now it should have been already done on Android. I'm not sure when. They said as soon as possible on iOS, and I'm not sure how quickly that can be implemented. But yeah, just how did someone let that through at the moment? Like, it's just, as you say, just insensitive.
If you go full QAnon David Icke on this, the situation is made even worse by the fact that the narrator in the intro video describes Umbra as a new threat that has emerged to take advantage of escalating civil unrest. And also continues to call them a faceless organisation that wants to build a new world order.
That's the masks. That's why they're faceless. They're all wearing masks. It's an argument against those in public as well.
I think.
Don't even get me started on that.
Who knows when that was written, and I'm not necessarily excusing, but in this environment, someone should have really, called for going through that and sort of, changing it to match the mood of the moment, needing to read the room there a little better. But I don't, as I said, don't know how long ago some of that was written and some of it was, not overseen, but someone should have been responsible for that. They've obviously got a lot going on with Ubisoft at the moment, but that certainly doesn't excuse them from not making other missteps and making things worse at the moment as well.
Considering a lot of stuff that's going on is completely of their own making, I have little to no sympathy, frankly.
Yeah, exactly. And it's difficult to carry on making any excuses for them because it's inexcusable. So
that is the actual definition of inexcusable, Tim. Congratulations. Yes. I can't make an excuse because it is inexcusable. Yes.
I'm just wondering how many Jim Sterling videos going forward are going to reference this along with everything else that Ubisoft's ever done. Because have you watching Jim Sterling lately? He's really given it both barrels to Ubisoft, as he should.
Well,
yes.
But he's been doing that for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But now it's
and now has even more reason to, yeah.
Now it's less about radio towers and more about injustices within the video gaming industry behind the scenes. So good. Mm-hmm. Good for him. Watch Jim Sterling, everyone.
Watch Jim Sterling.
Hmm.
I'm going to say friend of the show, even though he probably isn't.
He's never heard of us.
Him to be a friend, but I don't think he knows who we are. So there we go. Hi, Jim, if you're listening. If you are, drop us a line.
Well, Jim does... We kind of got a link. Jim does a podcast with Laura Kate Dale.
Oh, yes, you're right.
At an EGX and gave a very small model of a PlayStation 4... because she leaked the PlayStation 4 Slim and no one believed her, so I thought it would be cute to give her this tiny model of a PlayStation.
A bit stalkery, but good link.
You get to give the micro out. The PlayStation 4 micro.
That sounds really dodgy. I got to get my micro out.
Thank you, Dan.
No.
Can we talk about...
Can we bring the tone down.
Can we talk about Gamescom? Yeah.
Well, Gamescom, yeah, I'm gang.
At least that's some positive news.
Hey, well, there was an opening night at Gamescom. Well, an opening night. Well, I suppose it was we pressed the play button. It was meant to be Gamescom, like everything else that's happening virtually. And Gamescom being Gamescom, there was, I do believe, Jeff Keighley was involved.
Yep.
Live from his living room. When you've got some announcements to make, you've got to have Jeff Keighley there.
Got to have Jeff Keighley. That's
and
how it
there
Jeff
was Stranding. A whole bunch of new games that were teased.
And Doc Brown was there.
Yes.
And he didn't warn us.
For reasons.
No.
he came back at the wrong time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's a whole smorgasbord of stuff, which we're probably not going to have time to go through in any great detail. But there was a suspicious lack of release date price information still about any of the next gen consoles. Not that I would necessarily expect that to be here at Gamescom, but even so, stuff is still targeting a launch window as opposed to a specific date. So read into that what you will. I reckon we ought to take sweepstakes about when we think the release date's going to be.
November.
More than that, I want a day.
No.
I want a day.
Well, I think we should work this out behind the scenes, and then we can have a more streamlined thing to talk about next week.
Oh, well, that's just professional and tedious.
There you go.
All organised.
I think it's going to be the 32nd of November.
Brilliant.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah, I'll take that bet.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever,
1,000
Tim.
Quid.
Do you want me to pay in cash or check?
In it.
Pennies.
I want you to pay in PlayStation 5s, please.
Oh, right, yeah, okay, that will get you, if for a grand, that will get you about...
One and a half.
Yeah, if that. Anywho,
Highlights from Gamescom. Let's all pick some stuff. Tim, you haven't got to speak as much as you usually do in this episode.
Well, so far. But yeah, I'm going to...
Oh God, he's threatening us.
Here we go.
If you scroll forward on the agenda, there's going to be a whole lot of Tim coming up. I'm just saying.
Are we going to jump around on this? Go with an overview?
I'd like to jump
How
up,
do you want to do
get
things?
Down, personally.
No, I want to hear some stuff you're excited about. So just pick something.
Preferably off this list, Tim.
Yeah.
One of the things I was going to talk about for a reason I will make apparent in a moment is Unknown 9 Awakening. As that was something we didn't know anything about going in, I was kind of intrigued by what they showed. It looked interesting. It was, as it says in the title. But yeah, and it seems quite mysterious so far. But I have more information.
Go on then.
Than they showed in the thing, because Bandai Namco, with no instructions, has sent me this, so I'm guessing I'm allowed to show it to you. And look, we're on a video, so I can actually show other people as well.
Yeah, for the benefit of those in YouTube, Tim has just lifted up a really hefty white book.
It says Unknown 9 on the spine. And, yeah, Believe in the Unknown on the front, and it has mysterious characters.
Ooh, oxymorons.
It's also one of those magnetic box things.
And on the front cover, it says Global Game Jam by John Brady.
Yeah. And it's got a little magazine thing, which I'll flick through in a sec. A book.
I just think it's amazing that you actually took time to go, look, it's got a magnet.
Yeah. And a coin.
I just like that Tim is the second person on this show to ever say, look, a book.
Look, a book.
Yeah, so this is meant to be a title that is attributed to video games, comics, books, podcasts. Yeah. And a bunch of other different things, and all kind of meshed together as a big story world. And
can I just go, whoa, 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 is my entry point into a what now?
Basically, Dan, they're announcing what Destiny did with their story as a plan.
Or what you mean? Some top level people are going to walk out, and we're going to find out about it all.
Some of the story in the universe will be in other mediums.
Yeah. Uh huh.
But yeah, hopefully there'll be some story in the game as the kind of thing did. But yeah, like, I don't know. It looks interesting.
They're trying to.
I might have a read and get back to you.
So, any idea exactly what Unknown 9 is? I mean, all I know is that there's ghosts potentially. Small children.
It says on the front of this bit, your journey as a questador.
A questador?
No, quistador.
Questa?
They're lovely with some patatas bravas. What?
Brilliant with some cheese.
Ooh. I'm not sure how you pronounce that.
Do you know what some calamari rings?
It's a made-up word. Questa starts here.
Cool. So what you're saying is we don't know what this is about, and you've been sent stuff to tell you what it's about, and we still don't know what it's about.
Well, I only picked it up today because it was sent to my office.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't read it yet. But as I said, I might have a read and get back to you with some more information.
All right, check back in.
So you've heard that that's a BRB UK exclusive. Unknown remains unknown. Tim got sent a thing, but hasn't looked at the thing properly yet.
There's a little bit of information we didn't know about the quest of things.
Conquistador.
Conquistadors.
An enchilada.
But yeah, who knows? But yeah.
Okay,
It looks like an interesting kind of universe that they're setting up, and they've obviously got a bit of faith in it. They're kind of setting up comics, and they've already written books and podcasts and things. So, we'll see. Although, less of the podcast. We got that covered.
We'll have to, we'll have to see how that kind of pans out, because this has been done... I mean, I remember previously that there was a film called Southland Tales, the guy who made Donnie Darko made, and the idea of that was it was meant to be film and books and comics and everything all kind of tying together. The film came out, I think some comics came out, and no one read them, and then therefore the film made no sense and got horribly, horribly panned. And then more recently, Universal Dark Monsters, Dark Universe thing, they tried to set off a cinematic universe that didn't quite pan out with one film. So, yeah. Usually you build to these things, not release it all at once, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, but as I said, they've obviously got some faith in you. It's not terribly unusual to release books and comics of the add-on to a game.
I've got a cool set of Mad Max comics that link the Fury Road to Thunderdome, which is pretty cool. But hey-ho.
Linked the Fury Road to the Thunderdome. So it's like a dramatic bypass is what you're describing in the road network of Mad Max there.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Dan.
Huh?
What excited you? What tickled your fancy in Gamescom?
What tickled my fancy? Well, obviously, well, they mentioned the word Destiny in there, so I've got to be excited about that. They're starting to drip feed information about Destiny 2 Beyond Light, which I believe was actually meant to be released next Tuesday, but has been delayed, of course, till November the 10th. So they're starting to advertise the fact that there is kind of a new set of abilities, kind of through a new element. At the moment, characters...
Unobtainium.
Yes, that can either be Arc, Solar, or Void in their classes. There's going to be a new element, so that presumably means three new subclasses as well. And that is Stasis, is the new element.
That's the two little guys from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. And then
exactly.
One.
Stasis.
Yeah, exactly.
Stasis.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yes, why not Coleman? So it's all going to be about, it's all about freezing enemies and making them explode, making them, you know, crumble into little icy bits. And it all ties in with the substantive part of Beyond Light being set on Europa, which is a very icy moon.
So what you're telling me is with this new the new class, mm-hmm. I guess, Tim can be Sub-Zero.
Yes, why not? Yes.
Tim, does this sway you back into Destiny? Okay. Yeah. What if it's on Game Pass? Okay.
Because it's going to be.
When's that happening?
Soon, I think.
Okay.
Go on, Tim.
This is included in Game Pass, right?
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
See? You don't know.
Thank you, Dan of Bungie.
Yes. Bungo Dan.
Bungo Dan. Dr. Destiny.
Bungo Dan.
Strikes again.
Yes, I'm also... what else has came up? I am also quite interested, but I'm saying this in a way that I haven't actually played the current season of this, and I know Tim's going to talk about it later, so I'll just leave it there. But Fall Guys, I just think looks like a wonderful little game, and I'm glad they're doing more of it. And I've downloaded it on PS4. I might well get it for PC as well, but my goodness, that looks bloody adorable.
It's fun. Yeah.
Adorable, I tell you.
Yeah, but now they're doing season two, and there's a medieval theme and new rounds and costumes, and that's good because there's only a handful of games in that game, so it'll be good to see new games and new versions of existing games thrown into the mix. Mm-hmm. That'd be nice.
Yep.
I would like to talk about Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. We got another look at that, and unfortunately, I don't know how the stream was for you guys, but it was seriously stuttering at this point.
Yeah, so good.
Had to go back and watch a different trailer later on. But it gave us... I mean, when you look at the more high-fidelity trailer... The look of the reflections and surfaces and on character armors and what have you, robots, look very, very nice. And it just reminds me of that point where the PlayStation 3 was coming out and they were showing off Ratchet and Clank footage then, going, look at the things that PlayStation 3 can do. And now they're doing it again for PlayStation 5. So that's interesting.
Look at the shinies.
We got another look at how the kind of the portals work. So you can have ones within the same level and they seem to work instantaneously where you hook onto them, you pull the portal towards yourself, and then you're suddenly on where that portal is on a different view of the map. What we also saw as well was the jumping to different levels, which initially, we were given the impression that's a seamless thing, but it did look like, because there's a buffer in between levels, and I'm assuming that is your load screen.
There's only... Because even a super sexy drive can only be so super sexy.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm also assuming that sort of section in between the levels, that's going to vary in length on how... Because I don't think it was a set time jumping in between levels, so it's going to... Yeah, depend on what you're loading in and stuff. So not as fast-paced as originally led to believe, but still impressive nonetheless. But yeah, it looks great. And we also found out it's going to be in the launch window of the PlayStation 5.
That old phrase.
Yeah.
Whenever that'll be.
And anyone that's not familiar with the old launch windows from previous launch consoles, or launches of consoles in previous generations, launch window is a very elastic term.
That's basically within the first year, isn't it?
Like I said, I've already told you, it's November 32th this year.
Oh, 32th.
It's going to be.
Launch window is very loose. So I reckon that could be any time this year, but much more likely to be sometime early.
I reckon it's going to be. Well, by launch window, we meant the financial year. So it's going to be April.
Well, launch window can mean month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, as you say, up to a year, basically. Like, so it's a, yeah, it's a very nebulous term that doesn't really give me much faith that they've got a solid release date for this yet, basically. But it's one of those things, maybe, that if they gave a release date for the game, it would give too much away about the release date of the console at the moment. Like, so maybe not read too much into it, but yeah.
Yeah, or maybe they're still working their stock issues out, because I think they've got to be well into manufacturing next gen console units now. They have to be well into that, mate.
I don't know about you though, when they were showing the launch lineup, I kind of assumed that this was going to be one of the games that would be available at launch.
I'm pretty sure this was at one point fully intended to be a launch title.
I think they're slowly stepping back from that, is my reading of it.
Tim, give us another one.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could...
Wow, so enthralled.
No, that's the thing. I could just talk about Star Wars Squadrons, because I'm getting steadily more excited for that. But I don't think there was anything on this that particularly added to...
Star Wars Squadron, correct me if I'm wrong, that's launching on EA Play, isn't it?
Yes, I believe it is.
Ooh, that's more tempting now.
I don't have EA Play, but I will definitely be picking this up, because, yeah, definitely looks like my thing. But as I said, there wasn't much from this that actually made me... There's other things I've seen aside from this and before this that made me more excited for that. So the one I'll actually talk about, I was going to say... And I've forgotten. Oh, no, yeah, I'll cover the VR thing. Like, interesting that Respawn are handling Medal of Honor and going with a VR kind of
It was kind of revealed a little while ago that Respawn are working on Medal of Honor, a new title, but didn't know it was going to be a VR one at all. And it seems to be, it's not a VR experience. It is a full title, much like Blood and Sand or The Walking Dead and others that have come, Half-Life more recently. So interesting to see. Killing Nazis up and close.
So, yeah, that was a nice surprise. Like, I didn't expect much on the VR front from this, basically. But, yeah, that was a nice little... Oh, okay. Well,
so it's a fully-fledged Medal of Honor game that is VR.
I don't fully definitely know that I can confirm that, but I know it's got VR component to it. I imagine it might be working in VR in much the same way that, you know, they've got the Hitman series working in VR now. I imagine there'll be... I'm excited by the fact there'll be more games kind of just adding a VR component to what they've already done kind of thing. And this sounds like, yeah, another one of those titles taking advantage of that. So that's
now the big question, Mr. Hibbs.
Big question.
Do you think this is going to come to PlayStation VR? Because it looked quite graphically impressive.
I think it will. Like, I would have thought so. Okay. Like, it's the best-selling VR headset, so it makes sense for anyone making a VR game to try and make a version.
I'm just having another look at the trailer. I think this might be PS5 territory.
Okay.
Just looking at the graphical. It's difficult to tell on the highly compressing. But I mean, what the way they describe it is that Medal of Honor has been developed ground up exclusively for VR, and it looks like it's initially was just for the Oculus platform is what they initially confirmed, but it sounds like other things are incoming.
One of the more interesting things I found about this, with VR games, when it's first person, you know, use your hands, immersion controllers, it tends
to
be...
You vomit everywhere, we know
that.
Well,
no, it tends to be you are a rendered body, so you look down, you see your body and stuff, or you have disembodied hands. This one, they went a little... They were hands, not believable enough. Body, bit too graphically taxing. We're going to cut these off at the elbows and just have these weird floating forearms.
Do you know why? That's because in the Second World War, they had a lot of armies. Come on.
I need
That was a top quality pun.
I need to add some punchline sounds to the soundboard. No, like a wah, wah. Swing and a miss.
Yep.
Dan, you got another one?
Have I?
Have you got another one?
Have I got another one? Other than, but there's more Doom coming, and that's quite exciting, and it's coming on my birthday, so that's always nice. Right, but I think you kind of, you're just itching to talk about reliving your video gaming youth with an upcoming anthology. So, Coleman, tell us about Turrican.
Turrican. Turrican is a game I used to play on the Amiga as a young Coleman, and I have never played any of the
Cold
other
Boy,
games.
If you will.
Oh, actually, no. I used to play Turrican 2 as well on the Amiga.
Yeah, Turrican 2. Come on, you must have played it. So good.
But I never played these on consoles or anything else at all. I knew there were other versions of Turrican, but usually when you play something on the Amiga and then you play another console version, sometimes they detract from your original gameplay experience. I did not want that. But now they have decided that for the 30th anniversary of Turrican that they are going to stick everything together in a big anthology, or two anthologies.
Well, you say that, yeah.
Yeah. So they're releasing these on two different... I know they're on Switch. I don't know if they're coming to PlayStation and PC and that as well.
I believe they are. Good fit for the Switch, PS4, Switch, and PC by the looks of things.
So if you get Anthology 1, like I will, you get the Amiga versions of Turrican, Turrican 2, the SNES versions of Super Turrican and the Director's Cut, and then the Mega Drive Turrican Score Attack. And then if you get Volume 2, you get the Amiga version of Turrican 3.
Don't get Volume 2.
Mega Drive's Mega Turrican and that Director's Cut as well, and the SNES version of Super Turrican 2 and Super Turrican 1 Score Attack.
I think Volume 1's where it's at, son.
If you go to... So I think the idea is they're releasing these digitally, but Limited Run Games are going to do some special packs as well. So you can buy two different Switch versions of the game, Volume 1 and 2, individually. Or you can buy... there's like a special edition of the game for like €80 or so. I don't know what it is in British pounds yet, which comes with a load of guff and with that. But if you
advertising
Coleman,
shift those copies of Turrican.
I mean, when you look at this, but they have an ultra collector's edition, which I think is like €100, and that
that's €200.
Oh, €200! Wow. Which comes with a figurine of the Turrican soldier guy. And I really want that figurine.
Called Turrican, because he's called
Terry. Yeah, Terry Can. That's his name.
Terry Can.
Terry
Can. That's our episode title. So The Adventures of Terry Can. I want the figurine. I don't want anything else.
Fair enough.
Because everything else, like stickers and stuff that I just... I don't need it. CDs? I don't want CDs.
Who uses CDs? Who wants a CD?
Coasters that look like Amiga... coasters that look like Amiga discs. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff put in it. But hey-ho. Turrican.
So that's the one you're going to buy then, yeah?
No, I'm going to buy Volume 1 and probably that's it. Maybe get the second one if I see it on a deal later.
Yeah,
down the Rhine.
I might have to pick that up as well.
I can't believe we didn't talk about CGI Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, we kind of skipped over it. He did look a bit uncannily valley freaky though, hey?
They took the, what was it called? The Dark of the Moon Transformers Ronald Reagan stuck him in this video game. Good.
Hasn't it also got... There's some other famous faces in it as well, aren't there?
There's a guy who looks like Robert Redford, but I don't think it's meant to be Robert Redford.
Bobbert Bedford.
Yeah, like a scarred Robert Redford. Hey,
Bobbert Bedford.
Jeff Bedford.
Terry Bedford.
Scarface.
Good. And then I thought, you've gone to the trouble of having this CGI Ronald Reagan. Why not use him as a Fall Guys outfit?
Nice.
That would have been really cool. A nice little tie-in.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've seen worse, but it's his jowls, aren't right. It's his jowls. He's got very, very, very meaty, non-floppy jowls.
Well, so have I, but that's why I grew this beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is something wrong with Reagan's jowlage.
Reagan's always had a weird face, though.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
He's just from that era where you could be a mega film star and look weird.
Good. Yeah.
Someone had to say it.
Yeah. Right.
Overall impressions of Gamescom?
Weird.
Yeah, it felt like a holding pattern year, I'm not going to lie. But that's probably due to the fact that normal services have been suspended in many studios as a result of this flipping stupid virus nonsense. And also that they're all waiting for new consoles to come out.
Well, and it's the second opening night live, I think, stream. So they don't usually do this, and this would have been a good year to kind of eat E3's lunch, but it didn't happen because coronavirus. Yay.
Because you're socially distanced, so you couldn't actually get within striking distance of E3's lunch.
Yeah. I did have one big complaint about this. They seemed, they just went, so there's a, here's an award for...
Yeah, that was really weird.
Like, instantly, they had...
Is this just Jeff Keighley feeling odd if he doesn't get to give something an award every 5 minutes?
I understand there's games of show and stuff, but there's no show. The show is a live stream, and we're not physically there, and no one's physically getting stuff.
So but then they're going...
They did a little partnership with IGN, so they had one of IGN's presenters there, and she starts off and goes, by the way... Best Nintendo Switch game award goes to Little Nightmares 2. Why?
It's like, in it, what?
Best
what?
PlayStation qualified game for goes what? To Cyberpunk 2077. Okay.
Like, hey? Okay.
And seemingly no Xbox award either. So.
Yeah, it was a bit random. The whole thing was slightly oddly paced. I don't understand why all of those awards weren't in one place and maybe nearer the end of the thing. And it just seemed odd that they separated out the Little Nightmares thing and then had a, you know, announcement teamed with that. It seemed a bit weird. I'm not saying there's anything dubious there. It just seemed odd that they tried to cover it up more than was necessary kind of thing.
I think the biggest problem is they're giving awards out on a live stream with Jeff Keighley for video games, and it's not the video game awards.
Yeah,
that is also a problem.
That's very confusing.
I'm Jeff Keighley, and I'm talking about video games. Right, give them awards.
Don't give out game of show award. I mean, how do you give Cyberpunk a game of show award when it didn't have anything on the stream?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like it's just I don't know. It just seemed weirdly like. If you're not going to establish the qualifiers for how you're giving out those awards, and we don't understand that, then there's no point in giving out those awards. It just seemed like advertising certain games almost kind of thing. And just a bit odd. But I think under the circumstances, though, it was nice to have some good video game news. There just could have been a few more big pieces of news considering, but
I think there was a lot of filler in this that could have been cut, and a lot of stuff that could have been its own separate announcement, and I feel like they just kind of bolted it on for the sake of making the show larger so it'll feel larger, and really all you ended up was just a very bloated feeling live stream, and also the technical issues on both Twitch and YouTube.
It didn't really help its cause either.
And I also think, you know, that every games company this year has really had to drip feed information out to keep everyone interested on the hook rather than the kind of the constant splurge of exciting news that we're used to. So I actually think that these prolonged events online, actually it's very difficult to fill them out, and they should just be brave enough to go, do you know what, there's not much happening this year because reasons, let's just keep it short and snappy and to the point, which I think would be infinitely preferable.
And for instance, it was nice seeing a bit more of Ratchet and Clank, but it did seem like they were just showing you a bit more of it rather than anything like
especially towards the end of the demo they literally showed that in the PlayStation 5 reveal. And God damn it, I never want to see another trailer for World of Warcraft ever again, because that felt like it went on for half an hour of the 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and it was just, oh, yeah. Just that didn't help the pacing early on, and, yeah, the fact that there wasn't, like, BioWare were like, hey, we're standing in a field, not making a game.
Look at our beard. Look at our beard. Look at the beard. Yeah. Why don't they all have beards, apart from the lady?
Yeah, do you want to know what that Anthem revision is? Don't worry about that. Oh, look, Dragon Age.
There's a dragon over there. Yeah. Like, okay,
oh,
great.
Christ.
Any actual concrete things to say?
There's the solar sky. He's recording in a cupboard.
Look. And here's some scenery that's totally nicked from Dragon Age, but we thought we'd give it a new lick of paint. How's that? And some footage of a nondescript person holding a shield. Dragon Age.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, could have been much more streamlined, but I always think that with every one of these big game show type streams anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I like choppier, quicker, streamlined, because we've got to report back on it.
Yes, frankly. And when you open up a YouTube video and it says 6.5 hours, you're like, to die.
No!
Like, you could have split that video. I mean, that, yeah, again, the YouTube video for Gamescom, the live stream, it comes up as 6.5 hours, but only 2.5 hours of that is opening night live. The rest is pre and after show stuff.
Yeah. And I did that stream
and cut it. Cut it into 3 videos and re-upload it.
I did watch some of the after show stuff as well. Like, Everspace 2 looks quite interesting. I quite liked the first one, as I reported on the show before. And yeah, like, there was some good stuff in the after show. Godfall, I'm still confused about, like, that the footage they showed didn't really help me go either way on that game, but yeah, like, I don't know. It was.
It's funny. The more they show of God's Soul, the more people seem put off by the game, and the more I seem well into this game. I've gone from meh to, yeah, I'm picking this up.
I mean, it remains a little unclear exactly what the heck it's going to end up being, that game.
Yeah, I know. But if it's a looter, then I've got problems, because I've got too many looters.
That spell casting game thing. Spell bounce, spell something, spell check.
Spell end.
Spell check.
Spell end.
Check. We're just calling it spell check from now on.
Imagine this: you play an animatronic paperclip.
Oh,
and
no.
Your mission is to inhabit late 90s computers and correct all of these idiots' spelling. Can you do that? Are you up to the task?
What's that on the horizon? It looks like you're trying to write an email. Do you need help with that?
Do you like some help? Send it. Send it now.
That's the gritty reboot of Clippy. There you go. Shall we talk about the games we done did play?
Well, this isn't really a game I done did play, because I didn't done did play NVIDIA.
So why are you talking about it, Dan, in the done what games we done played section?
Put it in there, that's why.
You said clearly you wanted to talk about NVIDIA graphics cards for 4 hours.
Oh, well, God.
Then why did you put it in this bit?
Oh, take good.
Because
this
right.
is our nap time. Me and Coleman get to go to sleep for a bit now.
Look, all right.
And then
all
we
I'm
can conserve
say,
energy for the
all
game.
All I'm going to say is, like, Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA, proceeded...
He keeps graphics cards in his oven.
He does keep graphics cards. He basically, the whole stream was spent with him going, where am I going to get the next graphics card from? Ooh, from behind the sweet jar.
What's that
Ooh.
Behind your ear?
It's
massive graphics card.
It's got actually a massive graphics card was produced from his oven. It's like, literally, it's like, I don't even need to turn the oven on. I just have this doing graphics in here and it heats the whole thing up. So NVIDIA released announced their new generation of graphics cards, which are going to be available to order from later in September and early October, depending on the model you're interested in. And they announced 3 graphics cards, all of which...
That's just greedy.
I know. All of which deliver massive performance gains over the current generation. So if you've been thinking of upgrading your graphics card on your PC, now might be a really good time to think about doing it with the release of these new cards. So, graphics card the first. The 3070.
Oh, did you want a sound for that?
Yes, please.
Right, do it again.
Graphics card the first. The 3070.
I haven't got many sounds.
Yeah, great. Seemed a bit overkill.
Thanks for that, Coleman. That was right. that was marvelous. So graphics card first, the 3070, which is probably the non enthusiast but interested in gaming quite a bit card, to coin a particularly catchy phrase. So
I can see them marking it as just that now.
Yeah, I know, right? So the current top of the range card is called the 2080 Ti. So that is top of range in their gaming lineup at the moment. The 3070 is just as powerful as that, but about a third of the price.
What a savings.
Damn right. Nicely done. Nicely done.
I knew what was coming. I've already read into these.
So compared to the 1070, it's got over 3.5-4 times the performance if you're currently on the 1070, which is still a very capable graphics card in this day and age. So you're saying
that's what I want, are you?
Yes, that's what you want, I'm thinking. And next up from that, we have the 3080. It's your boy, the 3080. And this, well, frankly, outperforms the 2080 Super by nearly twice at the moment. And it comes in at about 600-ish quid. The 2070 comes in about 420 quid. So, frankly, unless you've got money to burn, either of those you do you really well. And I think if you're gaming it up to 1440p, you might be a bit silly to go beyond the 3080. Because that's still a pretty beastly card. But beyond that...
You know what you could do for that price, though, Dan?
What?
For that price, yeah. The mid one, you could probably buy a PS5, yeah?
Yes, but I'll come on to... Just let me finish my thought.
Go on. Just wait till you hear the price of the third one, Tim.
Okay. Are you ready, Tim?
What's number three?
It's the 3090.
Eating my dust.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what that's all you'll be able to afford to eat, because this will cost you a whopping 1,400 and let me just double check the price, because I think it's this, £99.
You could buy a decent spec prefab PC for that.
Yes. You could buy many things. Sorry, no, it's $1,399. Sorry, I made the price sound ridiculous there.
The statement still stands.
Yes. Yeah. This GPU it's ridiculously powerful. It looks like it's replacing what used to be called the Titan series of graphics cards, which are like the professional high-end ones. But, I mean, it's going to... You'll be good for donkey's years on the 3090, but the thing is huge. Frankly, if you turn it on, it will make the lights in your house dim. It takes that much power.
Would you say it's an absolute unit?
I would say it is an absolute stonking unit, mate.
In awe at the size of the lad.
It is. No, it's, you know,
bringing it back.
I mean, there is a market for it, people with a potential money sense imbalance. But I think the 3080 and 3070 represent a reasonable pound for pound value proposition. I think probably the 3070 is where people really want to go. I think that's going to be the smart money buy if you're gaming in less than 4K, frankly.
I have a question, Dan.
Yes.
Is there any actual sense to the names, or are they just nonsense things they make up?
They've actually streamlined the names this time.
So 3080 is greater than 3070. Okay, with me so far?
I understand the way numbers work, Dan. But could this literally just be called 1, 2, and 3? Is there any actual...
This goes back donkey's years. I think it's got slightly less ridiculous. The generation before last, it was... The 1050, 1060, 1070, 1080, then 1080 Ti, then there was a 1650 and a 1660. They've
simplified the titles this time.
Yeah, but do the numbers actually reference anything, or are they literally just model numbers?
All right, I'll refer you to my earlier comment. So 3080 is bigger than 3070.
Right.
These sheep are small.
Small.
Those ones are far away.
Okay.
But I mean, it's a major upgrade in terms of the technology here. And one of the things they're also really pushing is that it isn't just a graphics card. And it actually sounds like
some NVIDIA tech, maybe in the Xbox Series X as well, in terms of the direct storage stuff. We've heard about the super sexy drive that the Xbox Series X has, and it seems that NVIDIA's tech is actually somehow involved in this. Okay. So they're integrating directly with Microsoft's direct storage API, that's... which basically makes all transfers off SSDs lightning fast and removes the CPU overhead if you want to turn that into compressed data.
That's interesting. Didn't both the Xbox One and the PS4 run on AMD hardware?
They do. I mean, I need to get some more details about whether or it's kind of an exclusivity thing from Microsoft to NVIDIA, or whether or not NVIDIA just got early access to it. But it would be... It's surprising that it specifically got called out, I agree, in the NVIDIA event. But, you know, it basically is going to massively accelerate SSD access speeds. And the big deal with these graphics cards is that they're using a faster variant of memory, certainly the 3080 and the 3090 are. And that there's also, they're going to unlock the GPU in terms of use its AI chops to help, you know, streamers, also people who you know, speaking to a mic. It's going to have AI that will help, that will work out what is the true signal it should be broadcasting and remove not only background noise, but potentially echo from a room, do a certain element of kind of audio post-processing in real time, which is a pretty exciting feature. Also, all of Adobe's apps are going to utilize NVIDIA's GPUs to speed up, you know, video rendering, audio rendering, draw times, all of that. So it's quite a big package of goodies that they've announced that extends beyond gaming.
It's a very minor feature, but did you see the thing about the virtual green screen stuff?
Yes, I did. Last week were you bleating on about not having a green screen, Coleman?
I gave mine away because I never stream anything. So.
Yeah, this is true. So, but it's going to be able to do that, and you know, it looks like
that's something that's launching with these graphics cards, but they're then patching it out into previous version to the TI series is the idea.
Yeah, I mean to the 20 series stuff, and they actually, a lot of these features will be doing that, and other stuff that they're really trying to get behind is kind of machinima creation. That's right, it's 2008, and we all want to get behind some machinima goodness.
Wow,
I know, right? Wow.
Not the company, because they're dead.
They're very dead. But you know,
they're dead, Dave.
And that allowing for extraction of certain assets from games, which presumably developers have said, yes, okay, you can do that, to allow players to kind of use those assets to create their own scenes. It uses AI to take care of a lot of the animation for you, so it will work out what would look slightly less uncanny valley and can convert just an audio track of spoken word into proper facial animation as well. So potentially some really exciting tech that extends beyond games here. But, you know, it really is, you know, these are massive performance increases over the current generation of gaming. And, you know, I think the sad thing is that it looked like the Xbox and the Xbox X and the PS5, they very much look like they're going to be on equal punching weight with, say, the RTX 2080 or the TI, RTX 20 Ti in current GPUs. But the new gen of NVIDIA's cards is just, they're just ridiculously powerful by the looks of things. Obviously, benchmarks aren't widely distributed. Digital Foundry took a look at the cards, makes them look very impressive indeed. I think you can order the 3080 beginning September 17th, the 3070 from
PlayStation 5 launch window.
Yeah, no. Okay, so the 3080 is going to be September 17th, the 3090 is September 24th. And the 3070 is going to be sometime in October, and it's likely going to be supply constrained quite heavily. So max one per customer from all the usual routes, I would imagine.
But I need to set up my graphics card farm so I can mine for bitcoins.
Yeah, no. How many bitcoins can they mine?
To afford a 3090, you're going to have to do a whole lot of bitcoin munching.
Good. I like calling it bitcoin munching as well.
Yeah.
Nom 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 nom.
And that's Dan's new section called Dan's Tech Corner.
Yeah.
Next week. RAM.
I didn't even get to tell you about the new power connector that they've brought out for
I don't care anymore.
Good. Really? No one cares then.
Okay.
Not even you really care. You just don't know it yet.
I'm just doing it to wind you up, to be honest. That's where I get my amusement from it. You know, so all these countless bloody hours I sat through you talking about menus and all that crap. I could finally get my own back.
Because we're supposed to talk about games, Dan.
I'm talking about the things
the games
you've
done played section. You're talking about things that might help
your
you play games if
thing.
You buy them in the future, possibly.
What? Yeah. All right.
Tim, you have three games in your list. You get to play one. Pick wisely.
Oh, God.
I could do all three fairly quickly.
But you're not going to.
I'm going to.
No, you're not.
I'm going to. I only played...
I want to talk mine.
Yeah, I only played all three fairly quickly. So, Battletoads, I played a little bit of... I like the combat. It's quite good. I'm not sure about the boss battles because I didn't play many of them. Because I then got to the section with the jet bikes. Yep. And I know it's a good joke to make it as difficult as it used to be, but it doesn't play fun and I don't like the joke when it can't play past the section.
Are you strafing using the shoulder buttons instead of just...
Oh, yeah. I mean, originally we were trying to play on as two players and I've only got one control pad working fully 100%.
I'm glad you look confused as well then.
on the Xbox, and I can't be bothered to buy another pad, so whenever we play a two-player game, it's got to be something that doesn't mind the occasional veering to the right, which is fine in the fighting sections, not so good in those sections.
I see.
Gotcha.
See, you...
Yeah,
can't
I think
you drop
can
in, drop
one
out?
Person. Yeah, yeah. I think
yeah. So one person does the bike and then just drop back in.
But then we both wanted to play a game. We weren't enjoying playing that game, so then we played something else.
Although I have to say, I was very surprised that this was couch co-op. I can kind of see why in the styling of the game it went for couch co-op only, but I was really surprised that online co-op is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, I guess it maybe I don't know. Like they have.
I'm wondering
had
if
similar
that gets
games
patched in later.
Yeah. Maybe something.
Maybe it's just a restraint to COVID and what have you.
But yeah, what I might get back to, as I said, I like the combat, but I haven't played enough of to come with a form a full opinion other than, funny jet bike thing being hard. Yeah, I remember it used to be hard. That's a good joke, but also doesn't make the game as playable as I'd like. Anyway. But then, Fall Guys I had a quick bash on, and I've only played, a dozen or so games, maybe, sort of thing. I did reasonably well on my first one. I was happy to qualify for the next round on the first one and then did badly for a while, and then I think the last game I played I got to the fifth round, top 20 or so kind of thing.
Okay.
And then you punched your mic
out of frustration.
Yes, then I punched my mic out of frustration. That's all I've played so far, but yeah, it seems like adorable fun and quite cute, and
I've got a feeling it's going to be a top Extra Life game.
Yeah, that would be a good one to play.
I mean,
for
not even just Extra Life. Us three should actually do some stuff with Fall Guy. Did you pick up the PS Plus version, Dan?
Mm-hmm, good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should all
definitely because it was free.
It was included in the subscription price.
One of the things I just wanted to report back on there after, I know you had some initial shenanigans playing it on launch day, I think, but around the launch
that.
The launch window. But that seemed fine. I didn't have a problem with that. Got into in and out of games quite quickly, and seemed enjoyable.
Yeah, me and my girlfriend now play this together, and it's much more fun than the experience I had on launch day, where I was getting stuck in endless loading screens.
So that's all good. And just very quickly as well, I tried a game called Nowhere Prophet, which is currently on Game Pass as well. So I played this on Xbox as well, and it's a kind of single player survival game where you're leading a convoy of travelers or something.
Convoy.
It's a convoy thing, but it's a kind of tactical card-based combat with different kind of powers on each card and different cards that you can add to your hand and stuff as you go. There is permadeath though as well, so I've played through
that's
it
the
once
worst
and
kind
died
of death.
And got reasonably far, it seems like a good tactical based card game, and as I said, it's available on Xbox Game Pass, but I actually think it'd be really good on Switch, so I might investigate how much it is on Switch and might consider picking up on there as well. So
this is the thing with Game Pass, and I'm finding myself having this issue more and more. It's a really they put in the trailers now, it's the best deal in gaming, and I fully believe that. It's a really good service for what it is, especially if you use it across both Xbox and PC. I find myself discovering games, like I was talking about last week, that come out, I try them on Game Pass, and then go, oh, it's on Switch.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a really good game on Switch. What's that? 15 quid. So then I end up spending the more money I'm saving.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hey ho.
Yeah. Not good.
First but
yeah,
it's problems. Kind of.
It's post-apocalyptic kind of thing, but yeah, done reasonably well. I like the art style, kind of simple cel-shaded kind of look, but it's all, yeah, there's lots of decision-based stuff in text, but generally, yeah, just I quite like the combat and the way it works. Interesting, and if you've got Game Pass, if that sort of game is of interest to you, I definitely recommend checking out. It seems to be quite highly rated on Steam and stuff as well, so it's available on most platforms, and yeah, like as I said, available to try for free in inverted commas on Game Pass.
Don't start Carmen off again.
Yeah
don't start them off.
But yeah, Nowhere Prophet, I quite enjoyed it, and I'll definitely be playing some more of it in the future, and as I said, might end up actually paying for a game that I already own, kind of. But yeah,
that sounds like classic Tim maths, in all fairness though.
Man maths.
But yeah, I wanted to gloss over those three quickly.
At least you haven't started calling it an investment yet. That's your usual trick that you try.
Yeah, because I haven't played them yet. But also, Coleman, I think I might need you to convince me, push me over the line. I enjoyed playing this game with you, but I'm still, like, and I asked you about this last night, but I'm like 90% sure that I'm picking up Marvel Avengers. Just safely push me over that last 10%.
So for the listeners, Tim messaged me last night and went, did you get the Super Avengers version that lets you play early? Because I'm tempted to buy it and play with you now. But I had to go to work late, so he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So he couldn't play with me. Marvel's Avengers, I did get... although I don't agree with spending more money to play early, this was a gift from my girlfriend, and she
bought it for me.
So it was a very nice thing she did. I've been playing since Tuesday, since the first, because that's when... wasn't the first? Second? I don't know where we are in the world now.
Yeah, Tuesday was the first.
I keep losing dates.
Difficult at the moment.
Marvel's Avengers launched on the first if you bought one of the super editions that let you play from the first. I think it launches Friday regularly. Or is it?
Yeah. So probably the day you will. No, tell you what, Friday. while you're going, why don't
it
I
It is
jump?
The 4th, same day as Tony Hawk's.
Back same day check. As Mulan and The Boys Season 2.
Everything's happening on the 4th.
On the 4th, yeah.
Wait for the
apart
kids to go
the
back
stuff
to school.
That's happening on the 5th. That's happening
release
on the 5th.
All the games and the movies. That's
so
how it goes.
I've spent all of Tuesday playing this game. I really, really like this game still. It's now I have an actual single player mode to muck around with, as well as the multiplayer stuff. And the way
I forgot that.
So the story of the game, and it does look like this game at one point was a third person action game that they then went, we need a games as service game.
Yeah.
Right.
And it is a shame, because when you play, so the game opens and so it's like the story of Kamala Khan and the Avengers disassemble, and then you have to reassemble them. And Kamala Khan is on her journey to becoming Ms. Marvel. And you start the game off in the, so you've seen it in all the trailers and the beta and gameplay demos and stuff. It starts off at A-Day, and A-Day is done in this kind of celebration of the Avengers. So you actually start off as Kamala Khan going to the Avengers celebration, and you get to walk around and interact with stuff. And it's a really nice kind of nod to, because not only they do that kind of thing where they go, hey, here's the comic book heroes in the real world. This is their real world. Also the comic books and stuff that we have in our world exist. So you will see like a giant sized Avengers and pick that up and look at it and stuff. So that's all really, really cool, and it builds up for the story. And that does kind of make you go, ah, man, I wish I just had the single player experience where you put all this effort into the game, because it does take away a little bit by then opening up into this multiplayer Destiny-like, essentially.
Hmm.
And the thing is, and I seem to, because a lot of people, like there are a lot of people that crap on Destiny. They don't like Destiny.
No, really?
But yes. And
sorry,
I know, Dan,
to say, Dan.
I know, Dan. I know you don't hear these things. But then there are people that are massive fans of Destiny.
Hey, hi. How you doing?
There's one.
lesser so, there are huge fans of Anthem that swear by Anthem. There are huge fans of Fallout 76 that
they're
swear by Fallout.
They're even bigger idiots.
I've got friends that swear by Fallout 76.
But you shouldn't be friends with them, frankly.
I mean, some people are just gluttons for punishment. So,
yeah, Tim, how's Royce treating you these days?
No, it was For Honor. That was the one.
It's okay to like or even love a bad game.
But the thing is, you kind of look at these people, and that, you know, I'm not knocking anyone that's... You like what you like. You get these people on Twitter and stuff, and like they absolutely swear by these games, and they get absolutely turded on. I'm starting to feel like one of those people, because everywhere I look... Everyone is having a go at Marvel Avengers. They don't like Marvel Avengers. It's getting crap reviews. It's getting crap opinion videos. And I'm there going, I flipping love this game.
I mean, how much of that, though, is your fanboy love for Avengers as a franchise?
Is.
And if you stripped... I mean, I know it's a bit difficult to imagine this without any of the Avengers characters in it, but imagine it was a generic... third person brawler.
Imagine it was
Anthem. Looter. Yeah. Would you find it engaging if you stripped all of that out of it?
If you remember when you first boot into Anthem and you start flying around in your mech and stuff, it's like your javelin, it's like, wow, this is really cool. And then after about 20 minutes of the game, it kind of shows its true colours and you get a bit bored. Avengers multiplayer does that, but yeah, it probably is that your Iron Man and your Hulk and your Black Widow, even though they do kind of play similarly, there is enough difference in their superpowers. Like, if you're Hulk, you can jump really, you know, leap big bounds and smash things and pick people up and throw them at other people, or do the puny god move, all that stuff. If you're Black Widow, then you're jumping off environments and whipping people and using more like MMA kind of attacks and shooting them. Captain America... spoilery, still alive. You use the shield to attack people. If you're Iron Man, you fly around. If you're Thor, you fly around, but you've got God power. You know, all that stuff. There's enough difference there and enough variety to make me want to keep leveling up different characters. And there is enough in the story, because what will happen in the story is they'll go, okay, single player part, two player part, three player part, four player part, but you can play it all on your own or you can jump other people in, and it will kind of jump between those single player focus missions, two player focus missions, or four player focus missions. And I do get to those points where I, you know, have the two or the four and go, oh man, I wish I had a group of friends playing this with me, because this game's a right laugh, and it's best played with friends, unfortunately.
Well, see, that's the thing. For me, I've only got you that I know that wants to play at the moment, basically. Yeah. So it's a case of how long you're going to play it for and how much time I get to intersect with you as well.
I'm not going to, because work's a bit manic at the moment. If it wasn't, I'd be playing this game every night, most likely. It has hero cards and stuff that you can follow on these paths and try and unlock more stuff. You basically do like the Destiny bounties, kill...
Yeah,
so many of these characters, do so many of these moves, you know, that kind of stuff. And then with those points, it will level up the particular character's quest path, hero path that you're going through, to unlock more costumes, emotes, moves.
Yeah, and basically, what it comes down to for me is I really like what I've played. Well, I like what I've played with the game, like, and I really enjoyed playing as Iron Man. I quite like the difference, as you say, with Hulk, and the difference in the characters, and playing as different characters feels very different in the game, but works well. So I like that structure of the game. I'm not completely sold on the mission structure of the game in terms of like the multiplayer stuff and some of the shorter missions being a bit like, well, why are they even there? Why'd you bother? Just give me more of the other missions. I guess maybe partying up with people and only having a short amount of time in some cases, but some of them just felt, and I said this in the feedback in the beta and stuff, like they just felt a bit reductively small and pointless kind of thing. But yeah, beyond that, I like most of what I play in the gameplay enough for me to play it enough. If I knew more people that were playing it, that might help. Maybe we can party up with some community members and stuff as well. But but yeah, like, I don't know if I want to support the business model.
Yeah, and that's my biggest thing as well, because I think that's where it's coming
with a lot of criticism as well.
Yeah, if you've not seen, there was a big kind of tear down that the Square Enix released this big thing to go, here's how all the monetization works, and released it all out.
That's never good.
No, and I don't like it. And when you're on your the shield helicarrier, the Chimera, they've got different monetization areas. It's kind of like the thing in the tower, but you've got three of them for different things, and they're already really far spaced out for some reason, so you've got to walk on different levels to get
so
to
it, it's so you can get buyer's remorse yeah. right as you trudge between them.
I guess so. And I did think, because when they put the thing out, I was like, well, you know, I might put 10 quid behind some stuff to buy, you know, extra things for Iron Man or what have you. And then when I look through them, I was like, you know what? I'd rather just earn them in game, because they're not that impressive to be.
Yeah, none of them are.
Because, I mean, this is kind of two of the things that occur to me is obviously they've got limitations on what they can do on the visual appearance of the characters which you play tied to licensing terms. Yeah. So actually, there's presumably a bit of a limit to how you can customize each of your heroes.
Yeah, so, but there's enough alternate costumes that, you know, can be licensed and stuff as well. So
the appearance is done entirely through alternative costumes, and any kind of pickups, loots you get, and are simply for attack powers and stats and things. On its own, the game, you know, the game has a good story. I really enjoy playing through the story. Playing through the kind of multiplayer stuff on my own, that is more like the satisfaction of watch the numbers get higher. I like that. And then on multiplayer, it's a laugh. So that's why I really like this game. What I don't agree with is the... So they are adding in DLC characters for free. The first one will be Bishop, the female Hawkeye, which I believe originally they were going to do Black Panther, but because of the sad passing of Chadwick Boseman, they put that back and decided that announcement's happening later.
Yeah, can I just say, screw you, 2020. You're a dick.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. So they put in the second Hawkeye instead. And that's meant to lead into the next Hawkeye as well. So we get two Hawkeye DLCs for some reason. But what the annoying thing is, they go, hey, for those new characters you want, if you want to do the hero card thing that you're doing with the characters included in the game, you got to pay an extra, I don't know what it is in the UK, but you got to pay an extra $10 on top of that to unlock all the things in game. So that's a bit of a dick move.
Yeah. Yep. Like... The one thing I'll say is I don't know if it's good or bad, but the three characters they're releasing was like, okay, I don't need to spend any money on those then. Yep. They weren't really tempting to me. And I don't know how many other characters, I think we're getting Spider-Man for free on the PlayStation.
There was a leak of 16 different characters. So we're getting a few.
Name some names and I'll see if there's any I care about.
Marvel. Captain Marvel. Jeff Keighley. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't got them. I think Vision's in there. I don't know. I haven't got them all in front of me.
See, Batman. I don't think there's that many Avengers that I Punisher, deeply care about. If they bring out the Punisher, I'll give them some money. That's it. That's what
sadly, Tim, I don't think the Punisher's in the DLC lineup.
Well, that's the thing. I think all the Avengers that I care about are in there already, apart from Spider-Man. So we get Spider-Man.
Yeah, and he's a platform exclusive.
And exactly, on PS4,
which again is not, you know, great, but yeah, we were planning on going PS4 for that probably anyway.
I will admit that I was fully prepared to be picking this up on the PC as soon as they said the Spidey thing. It's like, well, I want to play as Spidey, in any Marvel game, he's my main guy, so I will pick this up.
I mean, I'm just disappointed. I mean, I know Sony...
you're not angry, you're just disappointed.
I'm just disappointed. I'm just disappointed that Sony, after perhaps showing a modicum of, you know, grace about the whole situation, was like, okay, do you know what? You know, perhaps Spider-Man, yes, Marvel Cinematic Universe, that sounds great. Let's let him be part of that. And then gone, the franchise made how much money? Okay, yeah, we're having that back. We're going to take our ball back and we're just going to continue doing our thing with it.
I can't really blame them for using it as a platform exclusive Look, I can see how it's angering some people, but they let him out for the Nintendo Switch thing, and that means, you know,
I think to kind of make it fair, they should have gone, right, if you get it on the Xbox, you get... I don't know, someone big on the Xbox. You get the Punisher. If you get it on PC, you get the Vision.
Yeah, they could have equaled it up possibly, but...
I don't know how you equal to Spider-Man in the terms of the scope of that character in modern pop culture.
Yeah, I think the better and fairer thing to do that would have probably got them as much sales, especially in the launch window. But yeah, as much sales early on, and as you say, would just be a timed exclusive, and then like you get it eventually on other platforms, but it helps your early sales on the PS4. But that's probably the nicer way of doing it. But hey.
Anyway, that was Marvel's Avengers. I am still happy with it. I'll report back next week if I'm bored of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And the other question, have they announced yet? Do you know whether this is going to be one that moves over to PS5?
Yes, you get a free upgrade if you're PS4 to PS5. And Xbox to Xbox. Yeah.
That tempts me a bit more, because then that means we'll still be possibly playing it on PS5, no?
Mm. By Thor's hammer. What a
By
savings.
Thor's hammer.
By all that is good and holy within Odin's beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's everything. Shall we wrap up, Dan?
Why don't we wrap up? We should wrap up. We should do all the wrapping up.
Don't wrap up, Dan. He needs to breathe.
He likes it.
Oh, I love it. Ooh, all that cling film makes me so moist.
Oh, no.
I was going for bubble wrap, but
were you?
Then. Yeah.
Yeah, that works. It's fine. Anyway, we probably have talked enough rubbish, so we need to disappear. But not before some little public service announcements, such as reminding you to go to www.bigredbarrel.com or twitter.com/bigredbarrel or facebook.com/bigredbarrel. Or I would say we have a Discord link, but we don't. So you have to go to bigredbarrel.com. Look for the fun little purple box on the right-hand side of the front page and click join, because, frankly, Discord's great. We have a lovely time. We do games and
more
stuff.
More and more people keep joining, and it's great.
Exactly. So come say hello, and it's the best way to probably have a chat with us if there's anything you want to bring up on the show.
Oh, I did set up a Marvel's Avengers section for us.
Of course
to
you did.
Play games together.
Of course.
Because, well, after me and Tim did the beta, the voice chat was playing up a little bit in game, so I thought I better set one up on Discord.
There we go.
That's the other thing. I can't afford this and Tony Hawk's, and I'm really tempted by Tony Hawk, but hey.
I might have picked up Tony Hawk's.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, saucy.
Harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had feedback from, we had the question of the week from, well, as now he has called it, the question of every so often, because he's been missing a couple of weeks from Sky Dark. But before we do that, I just wanted to read you a little bit of feedback on our YouTube. This is from the Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown gameplay demo. And it says, from Sam L, this gameplay is absolutely horrendous.
Get.
Thought you'd like that. Yes, Skydark. Question of the every so often. What video game sequel do you think is better than the previous one? Dan!
I have a question.
Go on. Mm. Well, no, that was a question.
Yeah.
No, but I have a follow-up question.
Also, Skydark, if you could start this with I have a question from now on, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Gives Dan a chance to shout.
Sequel.
Yeah.
Are we talking... Yeah. Are we allowing threes after a two?
Yes.
Or is it
before
just
he goes, Street Fighter 2. That's my answer.
Thank you.
There you go.
That is the obvious answer. I would...
Good. I've given it then.
I would argue... Halo 3.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not sure I agree with you there.
Really? Over Halo 2?
Well, it was better than Halo 2.
There we go. Therefore, it's a sequel to Halo 2. Therefore, I win. I have the internet this week. It's all mine.
For me, Halo was the superior game.
I attempted to play Halo 2 back at launch way back when, and it made me motion sick. So Halo 3 was the one I played first.
Everything makes you bloody motion sick.
I know. Yeah, we get motion. It's called motion sickness. It happens.
Yeah. It has a
name.
Can't
help it. Yeah. Some fluid in my ear thickened or something. I don't know.
Oh,
anyway.
Dude, come on. Seriously.
Yeah, that's scene 2 by a doctor. Oh, look. There's one there.
Tekken 2, Monkey Island 2, Tim already said Street Fighter 2, Sonic 2, Sonic 3, Sonic and Knuckles.
Super Mario World.
Almost every football game is better than the last year's one, but mostly.
Does that
not
count
always,
if it's exactly the same?
But often.
Yeah, loads of sequels.
Loads of sequels. Yeah. I tell loads you what, a sequel that wasn't better than one that went before it, 2020, it sucks.
Yeah, definitely. I want a refund.
Poor sequel. poor sequel.
Just to add to this question, what was the more disappointing sequel? What was something that took away from the series for you? Because I will go with Buster Groove 2, because it never came out in the UK.
Aww.
America and Japan only, and I still have yet to this day to play it.
I'm going to go Halo 2.
Because it added multiplayer.
I'm going to mention Dead Space 3, even though I didn't hate it as much as everyone. I didn't hate it as much as everyone else. I admit
microtransactions.
It wasn't quite as good as the first two games, because they were just really good. But it kind of helped kill a series that should still be around.
Well, the first kind of big reported case I saw of microtransactions put in a console game, where people really turned on the game for that. And now it's
and people didn't like the multiplayer, but I thought it played reasonably well.
Yeah,
okay, it may have taken away from the atmosphere, but you could just not play the multiplayer.
Like, oh, Fear 3, same reason, multiplayer.
Oh, yeah.
Broke it.
Can I just congratulate us all for not putting a number 2 and then immediately saying Electric Boogaloo after it? I think we've all done terribly well not to fall into that trap.
Yep.
A bit too many times now.
That's never stopped us before, to be fair.
Halo 2, Halo harder.
Halo 2, Electric Boogaloo, I quite like.
Oh no! He's lost it.
Ah!
Halo 2, how Master Chief got his groove back.
Yep. Halo harder. Halo with Halo. Vengeance.
Halo 2.
Good day to Halo harder.
Anyway, we probably ought to talk other things now. Timothy, have you got an update for Gosh?
Nothing spectacular, just generally keep going. I believe there was an announcement that Dobble, which is a little card game, kids card game, but quite good fun. And not to be confused with MC Scrabble and Dobble, but Dobble has partnered with Gosh this week, and yeah, so there's some news there, but that's just general Gosh. But yeah, we've been kind of promoting the Geek Out for Gosh cause, which again, as we've said in previous weeks, it's a really good time to try and support charities if you can at the moment, because a lot of their fundraising events aren't happening for Gosh in particular, but you know, for other charities and hospital based charities, it's kind of a difficult time to fundraise at the moment. Gaming is one way that we can do that a little bit at the moment, so you can do your own streaming type event, or kind of back someone else that is doing a streaming event of some description.
Doing a streaming.
I love it when they do a streaming.
Yeah, and Sarah Dyer, friend of the show, who's been on before to talk about this as well, is also doing some streaming at the moment, so go give her some support in what she's doing as well. And yeah, just generally go follow at GeekOutForGosh to get out some more information from social media channels like the Twitters and the Facebooks.
Good. No podcast No podcast reviews this week, but if you'd like to give us a podcast review on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Podchaser, and or Stitcher,
most
appreciated.
I love
not Spotify, because Spotify sucks for reviews.
Wow, Spotify Tim, doesn't that's have how you really feel.
I know, that's what I was saying.
Wow,
good,
thanks. Great.
It's just funny how Coleman's face changes as soon as I mention Spotify in that.
Hey. Next week's show.
Next week's show will be a thing.
On the show.
Next week on BRB UK.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, and possibly The Last Campfire, if I remember that I was meant to be playing The Last Campfire like I was meant to do this week.
Oh, that's Hello Games Is. Is that Hello Games Is New Things Is?
I was meant to play that for this week and maybe may have forgot.
Well done.
Because
Avengers.
So that might be next week.
Excellent.
Okay.
Good. Alrighty, well, we're going to disappear. We've reminded you to visit the website. Check. Tim's told you about Great Ormond Street. Check. Coleman is pulling a bizarre face. Check. We've told you that you should come back next week and listen to us. So why don't you do that? Marvellous. It will keep us all happily. Especially you. So... that's it. We're going now. And all that remains is for me to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been Terry Can.
Terry Can. God bless him.
Terry. Every Terry.
Every Terry. So, until next time then, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
quite welcome.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.